Aw, freak out. Yeah, les chic, say freak. Hi, everybody, it's Dan Soder, and I'm on the road always and never stopping. This November, I got a badass show that I'm very excited about with few tickets left. Town Hall for New York Comedy Festival, November 8th at 9:45 p.m. Town Hall, go get tickets right now. There's a few remaining. Let's fill it up. I'm very excited for that show. And then the next night, we're doing Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Two shows at the Queen Elizabeth Theater. First show, completely sold out. Second show, lots of tickets available. Go to The Late Show. If you don't have your tickets yet, go check out The Late Show. It is November 9th at the Queen Elizabeth Theater. The 7:30 is sold out. The 9:30 is very on sale. Tampa, Florida. I hope you're okay after the hurricane. We're coming down there in November. November 14th through the 16th, I will be at Sidesplitters Comedy Club in Tampa. I hope you're all right. And if everything's okay, come on out and we'll have a laugh. DanSoder.com. That's where you find me. I'm trying new catchphrases. Does this work? That's where you'll find me. I think that sucks.
Dads hate it when anything other than pool happens on the pool table.
Oh, yeah. No drinks. No, don't sit on
it. We were using my friend's pool table as a green screen, like laying down and shooting from up here so we could project.
That's actually fucking smart.
Yeah, we were like making cool videos when we were little, and he's like, saw the video. He's like, what's going on? How'd you shoot that?
Do you know George Lucas?
And also, why does it look like you're laying down and you're supposed to be standing?
Oh, my God. But that actually is brilliant.
Yeah.
To go like, oh, the felt works as a green screen.
Yeah.
But dude, you put a drink on a pool table around a dad?
No.
I wonder if how many kids have gotten beat because of pool tables? Like how
many? It's definitely.
What's the pipeline?
It's like if you have a shitty pool table, it's like owning a gun. Like you're more likely to be in some sort of incident.
Like it will. If you have a pool table, there will be an incident.
Yeah, it's not guaranteed. It's just likely.
Yeah, they're like, I keep the cues locked in the other room. I don't fucking.
Also, if you have a pool table and it's the night and you have a family that shouldn't have a pool table.
Yeah.
You know, you got one of those families. It's like, whoa, you guys got a pool table?
We did a real thing where when my mom got the pool table at the flea market, we like set it up and then kind of did like a half-ass run at having like a pool room, which meant like we got like a cheap Budweiser lamp to hang over it, which was sick.
Yeah.
And then we bought pool cues and like my stepdad was very handy, so he put it on the wall. But then within less than a year, no one was.
No, of course not. I have the craziest pool table story ever. It happened in Austin, Texas. It's like my friend's bachelor party. We were like 28 or something.
Okay.
And I have a rule. Like I was like, I'll go to your wedding or your bachelor party. I'm not doing both.
Like, really?
I was like, pick one. Which one would you rather have me at? Because it's all my friends are in Iowa. So I'm like, I got to go to Iowa twice. Like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
But we went to Austin and we were like 28 or something. And we got wasted and we're like first bachelor party or something. You know what I mean? And they're like, we got to get cocaine. I was like, okay, I know how to
follow me.
I'll figure this out.
Yeah.
And we went to this bar in Austin. I know where it is. I don't remember the name of it. And I'm like asking just straight up blindly, like, do you guys know where cocaine is? And this one guy goes, if you beat me in a game of pool, I'll tell you where cocaine is. And I was like, all right, game on.
Let me tell you something about drugs. Finding drugs is so fun. Just made it 1,000 times more
fun. So now I'm excited. I'm going to play this guy in pool. And then if I win, he's going to tell us where drugs are. And if I lose, I don't know what's going to happen.
Die? Like,
then we're done hanging out, even though we just had fun playing pool.
He lays it down after he beats you. He goes, I'm a police officer.
No. What happened was he racks his balls. He's real cocky, like clack, 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 clack. And he goes, I'll break. And I'm like, okay, man. I'm just letting him take the wheel. He goes to break. I fucking swear that this happened. He hits underneath the ball, shoots it up, and it shatters the light above the fucking pool table.
So at
a bar.
Technically, I believe, we might have to look this up, in the rules of billiards, scratching on a break is a loss.
Where you shoot it into the lights, and they shatter.
That's a scratch.
He literally said, I'll go get it. I'm sorry. His bravado came down so big. He's like, I fricked up. That was crazy. Yeah.
From that cocky to apologetic.
Yeah.
Cocky to apologetic's hilarious.
Yeah. He was like, no, I goofed up. That was crazy. Yeah. I'm not good at pool.
You want to beat me? I'm Austin Chubbs.
Right.
And then he like loses. He goes, fuck. Did he help you get cocaine?
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, but was it
good cocaine?
No, I don't think there is such a thing. But have you ever done good cocaine? And I don't want to make this up.
I've only smoked coke once, and it wasn't even like a thing.
I did cocaine one time when I was in San Francisco, and my friend was like, "This is like medical grade or whatever," and I was like, "Okay." And then I realized I'd never done cocaine before.
Oh, is that good?
I was like, "No, this is what it's supposed to be." I've been doing cat urine.
I've been fucking snorting just bacon powder.
Yes, exactly.
Bacon soda. My mom, one time, my parents met in San Francisco and were there for a while. And when I was younger, my mom goes, "One time your dad and I did cocaine that was so good, he wanted to go out dancing. And your father never wanted to dance." And I was like, so that's how good I think the coke in San Francisco is.
Yeah.
Apparently they've got just some great shit where you're like, we're going out.
Yeah.
We're going to the fucking discotheque.
Anyway, I didn't mean to immediately dive this into a coke podcast.
That's fine. There are simply no rules on this thing.
Okay, okay.
But I think it's interesting that the guy wanted to play pool with someone so bad that he held off.
I'm pretty sure he was just coked up pretty big and was like, I just want to shoot some pool, man.
No one wants to talk to me. I'm too yacked out of my mind. He was so coked up, he shot it into the thing. Yeah. He was like,
He's like, I goofed up.
That is, by the way, that is a coke change of emotion. Mm-hmm. To go from being like, best ever, to being like, it's all broken. It's all broken and everyone fucking hates me.
Yeah, and I broke it.
I suck. Yeah, I would get that like when I was drunk and I would fuck up. You know, and then you'd be like, everyone fucking hates me. But I feel like that's everyone with the internet now. I feel like the internet's so easy to go on and just find some shit about you that goes like, it's like the reading equivalent of breaking the light.
Wait.
You can go on Twitter.
Oh, yes. Or anything. I see what you're saying.
Facebook. Yeah. I'm not talking about like people that are in the spotlight either. I'm talking about just people in general. Everyone is catching smoke online.
The worst, but like, drinking and like goofing up like that, like I haven't drank like 6 months, which is pretty sick.
Yeah.
Which is good.
How are you feeling?
Like really good. The best part is when I was drinking, you wake up and you're like, who's mad at me? You know what I mean? Like, that's like, what did I say? That's annoying.
Yeah.
So like waking up and being like, if anyone's mad at me, it's not anything that's just what's happened. You know?
Did you wait for the hangover the first couple weeks?
Oh, it was just, wait, what do you mean?
When you wake up when you don't drink and you go like,
no, I would
like, I would wait to feel hungover. I would like wake up and be like, oh, I didn't drink. I'm fine.
Yeah. Well, I had trouble sleeping for like 3 weeks. I was like, just like insomnia.
But then
you sleep the best.
You sleep the sleep of kings.
Yes. And then you wake up and you're like,
refreshed.
Let's rock. Like I haven't sat down in my shower in a long time. You know what I mean? I was like, that's how you shower.
What was your go-to hungover shower method?
Oh, you just sit and in there, listen to some podcast, and be like, "Hey, bye."
Yeah. Water. My friend Mike. I lived with my friend Mike and Chad in Arizona, and we all had our own bathrooms. They were like those new apartment complexes. Mm-hmm. So the tubs, we were like the first person to live there, so we'd take baths.
Oh, well, yeah.
Because no one lived there before you.
Love a bath.
Well, I learned about the shawba, the bath shower.
I have a joke about a shower bath.
Dude,
that lasts till a bath happens.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Mike would do.
Yes.
He taught me how to do it. It is the greatest hangover cure of all time.
Really?
Is to start with a comfortable amount of water in the bathtub with it plugged.
Yep.
And warm, obviously. Uh-huh. You want the warm base.
Yeah.
You lay down. So maybe your balls are just barely floating.
Uh-huh.
And then you lay with the slope part of the tub. And then you just aim the shower at your head. And then you just lay there and the shower hits you and the water fills. And then you do what you do. Turn it off and then you're in a bath.
I lived for shower baths growing up. We get two G.I. Joes in there. Guess what? The flood's coming and they're fighting. Fighting over legs.
Dog, you don't want to get into it because we were talking about pools.
Yeah.
You know how many forts you can build on a pool
yeah,
with
yeah.
the pockets
yeah.
if mom doesn't know you're fucking up right. the felt?
Yeah.
No, you think the guys weren't on the fucking pool table? I would find anything I could. I remember, like, I think this is the way sex addicts. I'm always so lucky that I'm not a sex addict.
Yeah.
Because I feel like everything to them is like sex, where they're like, oh, I'd fuck right there. I could fuck right there. But that's
how it was with drinking. I'm like, great place to drink. That place rocks to drink. Oh, a beautiful waterfall. We should, but this would be so fun to drink here.
That was me when I was little with action figures.
Okay.
I go, ooh, what a great place for a final fight. You go, ooh, I can get that. Because we weren't poor, but we didn't have a lot of money. So right. I didn't have a lot of like, some kids grew up with like the G.I. Joe battle carrier. Like,
no. Yeah, the battle carrier was out of the question. Like, I remember I got a Fort Legorado one time for Christmas. Sick. And then that turned into the battle. That was for G.I. Joe's too.
But even like the He-Man castle, mm-hmm. Grayskull, or like when you went over to a kid's house that has that, you're like, damn, you're living life.
Right.
You got a good life. The rest of us have to turn the stairs into a fort.
We had a ping pong table. You throw some blankets over the ping pong table.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah.
I was thinking that. So that's how I always thought as a kid, where I was like, that'd be a good fort. You know what? That'd be a good bad guy fort.
Absolutely. That is the addicts. Just like,
I wonder if that was an addiction. I'm starting to wonder if like my action figures or action figures to little kids is the starter pack for like alcoholism.
I think about it, about like me and my friends would go in the woods when we were like 13.
Yeah.
Like,
'cause you grew up in Iowa.
Iowa. Yeah. And we would drink, like, we'd see how many Red Bulls we could drink. Just to see what happened. Exactly. And I'm like, every one of us turned into an alcoholic. Like, that is a surefire sign that you have an addiction.
It's so funny you say that, because my friend that I would do that with, Mike McDaniel, we would go drink Jolt Colas.
Right.
Jolt Cola was, they said on the bottle, it was a dangerous amount of caffeine.
Right.
So for kids, you're like, yes. Because it's not a substance. It's fucking Coke.
Right.
It's a soda. McDaniel and I would go get like high-powered Jolt Colas, pound them, and then go up to Albertsons and turn off the doors so people would walk into them. Or we play kickball in the aisle.
That's very fun.
Wild boys. Both of us have drinking problems.
Right. Well,
both of us are now reformed alcoholics.
I like his new look. I mean, because when I'm a Dolphins fan, like they're my favorite team, and like in the comedy world, you kind of find out who the other Dolphins fans are.
Roy Wood Jr., Jim Florentine.
Yeah. But like you randomly start tweeting about the Dolphins. Like,
well, now I care.
No, I didn't. But I was like, so are Dolphins. They were on like a solid run. And I was like, dude, what's up? And then that's how you're like, that's my buddy's team, dude. I was like, Jesus, what?
Yeah.
This guy rocks. His new look is sick. He looks cool.
He's always looked cool.
Yeah.
He's always, when we became friends, the first thing I remember about Mike McDaniel was he had the Ken Griffey Juniors.
Ooh.
He showed up from Greeley, Colorado. He moved down to Aurora and he had the fucking Ken Griffey Juniors. And I got introduced to him through Jason Poyle, our friend. And I was like, who's this kid with the cool sneaks? Always had style.
That's
always the most stylish.
He's in the right place. Also, do not envy his current position.
Yeah. It's tough, man. It's tough watching your friend. During the football season, he doesn't. Even after the football, he's hard to get a hold of.
Well, dude,
he's like one of those guys that you have to contact his wife or people around him. And I was talking to his wife because I'm going down there for the Raider game.
Okay.
And she was like, he doesn't respond, but he reads his texts. Mm-hmm. He's just so busy.
Yeah.
So text him. So I've been sending him like, buddy, I know this is a diarrhea storm.
But like, dude, as a fan of the Dolphins, like, I'm like, I don't even know how I feel about Tua coming back. I'm not coaching them.
I always want to help my friends, even when I'm severely underqualified to do so.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, I'm like trying to put together, because now I'm invested in the Miami Dolphins.
Yes, they're the best.
So I care about the old school throwbacks.
Yeah. Oh, the old
Dolphin with the helmet. Mm-hmm. It's the only gear I wear.
Right.
I mean, this one is cool, like that dolphin popping through.
It's fine. No, I want the Dan Marino jersey.
You want the cartoon dolphin with the helmet on.
Yeah.
It's similar to like how I feel about, even though I'm a 49ers fan, how I feel about the Denver Broncos, where they wear the D with the horse coming through.
You love it.
You're like, I like a logo a little more cartoonish.
Also, talk about dumb, like not poor, but not rich little kid brain. For picture day, from first grade through fourth grade, every photo for picture day, I'm wearing a Dan Marino jersey. Sick. Because it was the most expensive piece of clothing I had.
That was your tuxedo.
Yeah, I was like, better dress up. This is my best shirt.
You're leaving, you go, hey, mom, you notice how the three on the back is getting peeled off because we've washed it so much.
No, there was no undershirt, just a big, so much like chest sticking out. Because you buy it big, you're going to grow into it. You're going to grow into it.
I could swim in my Steve Young jersey that I wore until I was in high school.
Dude, I ruined my Dan Marino jersey. I was so worried to tell my parents what I did when I was on the swing set, right? And I was doing the jump, see how far you can jump. It got caught in one of those S hooks. So when I went to jump off of the it ripped it off of me.
Oh, that's kind of cool though.
No, but not in a good way. It wasn't like I busted through it, like pulled me back, but it still ripped.
I thought you busted through and you're like, I'm the king of the monkey bars.
It body slammed me. Oh. I don't have a shirt on. I'm like a little knocked out. I'm like, my fucking Dan Marino jersey. So I stapled it back together and like just put it back with my clothes.
Your mom's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, my mom literally was like, what happened?
Oh my God, dude, getting a jersey. Now they're so easy to get on Fanatics and stuff, but like getting a jersey when you were a little kid was like, did you go to the team and ask for this? Like, you didn't understand. You were like, I remember I got the classic 49er with the three red, white stripes, red and white Steve Young jersey. Mm-hmm. I still remember unwrapping it and being like, it's the greatest day of my life.
Dude.
I wore that Steve Young jersey. I have so many pictures with the eight falling off. It's just gone. It just, you could tell there was an eight there, and it's just me being like, and then I got a reversible Jerry Rice.
Whoa.
Get out of here.
That's fun. Dude, my dad one time, we lived next to the Field of Dreams.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a tourist.
You really did live that close to it?
I mean, 20 minutes. Built houses there. It's in Dyersville. I was from Manchester, 20 minutes apart.
Yeah.
It's where we would go to Dyersville to buy beer because we're like less of a chance to run into someone's parent there.
Oh, I thought one of the ghosts from the field worked there and ID. Ghosts don't ID.
Ghosts don't ID. Ghosts are cool.
If you ever go to a liquor store and a ghost working there,
they're not going to ID you. They're chill.
They're in the ether world.
Yeah, they're chill. They're very chill. But there would be like crazy, like Hall of Fame games there sometimes because everyone's obsessed with this stupid goddamn baseball field that I hate. The Field of Dreams is just propaganda for Iowa. It's fucking trash. There's a sign that everybody has on their cars in Iowa. It's like, is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. That's from the Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it sucks here. Like, this is making you feel okay to live in Iowa. This is a fucking shitty movie about space traveling ghosts. Yeah. It's dumb as fuck. Barely even about baseball. This guy's a fucking idiot.
I love the heat you have for this.
No, and it's also stupid. It's like, all those cars are coming. I'm like, where they gonna park in fucking Dyersville? It's stupid. I hate that movie. It fucking gives a lot of people in Iowa pride, and I disagree.
But anyway. It is fun though that you admit Iowa sucks. But this, like, is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. Keeps people being like, I'm glad I live here.
Yes.
That's like being with an abusive husband, and he goes, no, but you can take a punch, and she goes, right? Okay, never mind. I thought it was bad. Okay.
So they had this like Hall of Fame game or something, and George Brett was playing there. My dad loves George Brett.
He's the man.
Yeah. My dad likes guys who are kind of assholes.
I shit my pants last night.
Yeah.
You ever seen that video?
Oh, of course. My brother's name's Brett after George Brett.
Really?
Yeah, I'm Brooks after Brooks Robinson. My dad just named us after baseball players he wanted to meet. There's like a lot of photos of Brooks Robinson being confused, holding me, and my dad's in the back like, what up? Like, because baseball players used to have to go to fucking card shows because they weren't paid very well.
Yeah, they made like $40,000 a year.
Yeah, imagine like Derek Jeter sitting down and meeting all his psycho fans for $5 a fucking autograph.
I named him Derek.
Yeah.
Hey. Like exactly saying it, but like saying it like he's going to get emotional.
Yeah.
It's your kid.
Yeah.
And he goes like, I named him Derek. After you.
So my dad goes to this Field of Dreams game. George Brett's playing there.
Yeah.
He gets bombed or something, like pays way too much money to win George Brett's game worn jersey.
Yeah.
And they're like the same age. And then my dad puts it on and like he's out in the parking lot wearing like a fucking game worn George Brett jersey. And people in Iowa are the dumbest people I've ever met. And they're like, it's George Brett. And my dad doesn't stop it.
That's fun though.
So he starts signing a lot of autographs as George Brett. He signs like a bunch of autographs until one guy gets up there and he's just like, what the fuck? This is not George Brett.
That is, because that's before the internet. Yeah. That's like you had to watch games.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that's just, we always talk about the destruction that alcohol does.
Right.
Can we talk about some of the good stuff?
Yeah, that's really fun.
Because that is so funny.
Yeah.
Your dad's just in a George Brett jersey going, come here, I'll sign that. He's just got baseballs and shit. He goes, hey, is this too? Hey, welcome.
My dad said,
go he's Royals.
Like, he's
go
like, Royals. He's like, the one thing I did feel bad about was some guy came up and he showed me his jersey that had like all of these Hall of Fame signatures.
You can't do that.
And then one false George Brett signature. You can't. Like, he's like, I feel bad for that.
You can't have Sandy Koufax on a jersey right. And then you're just your dad.
And then Jim Whelan.
Jim Whelan is so funny. Yeah. Who is that? Jim Whelan?
Jim Whelan?
But honestly, that sounds like a Hall of Fame baseballer.
Right, yeah.
That sounds like a Hall of Fame baseball. Jim, yeah. If you were like, you know, Jim Whelan played for the Blue Jays
from
76 to 81. I go,
incredible. He's really, that he's guy, great. He fought a lot, right?
Because he fought. Well, dude, your whole family's tough as shit.
Oh, they're.
What's crazy is you're a sweetheart.
We have two older brothers who were mean, but now are nice.
Yeah, which is how you want family to be.
I don't know. It got, I would have taken.
I'm an only child, so I'm like.
I would have definitely taken nice and then still nice. Like, that's what you want.
You were the baby?
Yeah.
What's the difference between you and your oldest?
So,
the oldest
6 year older and 4 years older.
Oh, yeah.
And they fought a lot, like, hard. They still don't get along, like in a funny way.
Yeah, like they'll be like, they'll do like kid stuff as adults.
No. My middle brother is a head wrestling coach in Iowa.
He's like a good.
He's very, very good. He's very good. And then, so our oldest brother stopped fighting him once they got even. And it upset my middle brother very much.
Because he wanted
like,
to
I can fuck you up.
Yeah.
And my other brother's like, I don't fight anymore. He's like, I want to fucking kill you. Like,
you know what? I'm way on your middle brother's side.
Yeah.
Because you know, because shit runs downhill.
Yeah.
And your middle brother caught all the shit from the older brother, which means you caught all the shit from the middle brother.
I caught all that stuff
brother, from him, yeah. Who's now teaches people how to beat right. kids up.
Yeah. And like, I can never, I'll never be able to beat him up ever. So I don't know what this feeling he has is.
That's why you're funny.
Yeah.
Because you can diffuse, you learned right. how to diffuse the situation by being silly.
Well, not between them. No, that was.
No, not those two. But like,
but I'm saying even with them fighting me when I was little. Like,
you couldn't get out of it?
There was no funniness to get out of this.
Did you ever get them once with like a joke? Like break them?
No, I don't think so.
Damn.
I don't, to this day, I'm pretty sure they're like, "What? It's not good."
They're
supportive, but I don't think I've ever told them anything. They're like, they're yeah. mostly like, do you know Dan Soder?
Yeah,
like,
that's, hell
you
know, yeah.
They like good comedy. They yeah. really do.
You guys play your cards right. Shane Gillis might find out about you.
Yeah, exactly.
But you, that's what's crazy is because you guys all wrestled, right?
Yeah. But
was your dad a wrestler?
No, my mom's brothers were all wrestlers. Oh, I got a fun 90s story. Coolest 90s thing in the world. My fucking uncle, who was the state champion wrestler who then played football for Missouri, won like 5 episodes of American Gladiators when I was like 7.
Dude, your uncle was an American Gladiator champion?
Won like 5 episodes. Yeah, his name's Ted LePage.
Ted LePage?
He's on YouTube. You can look it up.
We're a fucking buddy. Yeah. I'll fire up the big screen. Fucking put it on.
Fucking hammering people.
Dude, I would do a watch along of American Gladiators with you. Do you smoke pot? I know you quit drinking.
No, I'll definitely smoke pot and do that.
I would smoke a joint and watch an American Gladiators with you.
Yeah.
So your mom's family, are both your families from Iowa?
They're from Missouri. Missouri got too exciting for them and they went to Iowa.
Those arts got too cracking.
Yeah, it's too fun.
So your family's...
Was from Missouri, yeah.
And then were you the first generation from Iowa?
Yeah, so okay. Then in Iowa, wrestling's huge.
It's the biggest.
Yeah, my brothers are spazzes, so then they start wrestling, so then I wrestled, and I was decent at wrestling.
Dude, you were better than decent. You were second in the state of Iowa.
Well, when I middle school. In high school, I never placed.
I don't give a
sure.
fuck.
Anyway.
Do you know how bad at wrestling I was?
Okay.
Do you know how absolutely a bad at wrestling I was? A single mom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a sweet boy. And then I fucking get into it. Dude, your uncle looks badass.
You should watch him play Breakthrough and Conquer. That was
Breakthrough
where
and Conquer is awesome.
He was just lighting up gladiators in the ring because he was state champ. So he's just like fucking tossing Gemini on his head and shit.
Yes. Gemini and Nitro.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that documentary was there was two documentaries about American Gladiators. Yeah. The one on Netflix I liked more because it was more complete.
For sure.
And it talked to the actual gladiators. Yeah. It didn't do like the Hulu one was like, oh, this is how it was made. But those gladiators were mostly just fitness models.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so a guy like your uncle is a big fucking problem.
Right, for sure. And so,
state champion wrestler going against a guy who's usually like just taking roids to go like, American Gladiators? You don't know American Gladiators? Dog.
What?
Is
that like
Ninja Warrior? Buddy,
my gosh, there
would be no American Ninja Warrior.
How do you not know American? Are you not American?
Yeah, no, he's younger, so you got to explain to
him. Oh, okay.
He didn't grow up.
How old are you?
32.
Yeah, so you might have just missed it.
That's what it is. It was a cultural phenomenon in the late 80s, early 90s. American Gladiators. Hi, younger kids. It's me, your Uncle Dan. American Gladiators was a competition show where they had these quote unquote gladiators.
Strong, big, strong fucking dudes.
They looked awesome.
Laser, power, Gemini.
Lace.
Like diamond. My dad was always like, I like diamond. So it was spoke like Trump for some reason. Yeah. That's diamond for me.
She's a sexy girl. So they were all like these like,
huge roided out dudes, and then they would have contenders come.
Regular people would come and do different games like Breakthrough and Conquer,
right.
Or they would do like Powerball.
Powerball.
Where they'd have
sick.
These like Nerf balls, and they have to put them in these baskets.
While you're getting fucking just attacked. It's like American Ninja Warrior if while you're doing it, somebody bigger is trying to pull you off.
Yeah, it was awesome. Great documentary on Netflix that's six parts about like all the CTE that occurred, all these people that get knocked out. Because what they would do is they would go get guys who, compared to a guy on steroids, looks like a regular guy, and they'd be like, hey, what's up? My name is John.
Yeah.
I'm a military drill sergeant. And then some of these guys were fucking animals, Brooks' uncle.
My uncle was like he's played, you know, it was like a fucking starting safety for Missouri.
Which, I'm going to tell you right now, any position on the field, safeties can crack and cover.
Yeah.
Fucking problem.
So he's just a really fast, strong dude. And so, like, he could go in and wreck shit up.
I love that. I can't wait to watch. Are all the episodes on?
No, not all. But there's a few where he's really lighting it up. And I'm like, but then when I would watch it with my friends, I had the inside scoop. I was like, my uncle says that Nitro's a pretty good guy, actually.
Yeah, I would do that all the time.
No, and I'd be like, Viper actually is a dick.
Yeah.
Just to let you guys know, Hollywood and Gemini do not get along.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was doing.
I'm trying to live through this through a mind of a 7-year-old.
Okay, yeah. Because that's what I'm saying, the most exciting thing ever to happen to a little kid. Like, your mom's little brother is on American Gladiators, which is already your favorite fucking show, dude. I was losing my mind.
The only way it would be cooler is if your dad was a pro wrestler who fought Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
Like, that would be, at the time period, the only thing, that was the only thing that would be bigger, is you have a family member who not only goes on American Gladiators, but kicks the shit out of them.
Yeah, he lost in the finals, I remember.
The Eliminator got him?
No, like, he won like five to get to, there was a tournament.
I remember the tournament.
And like, he lost to a dude in the final. I even remember the guy's name, it's like Will Clifton or something. I was so bummed. I was like, gosh dang it, that guy must be insanely good.
Yeah.
Because like, in my head, there's nobody better at sports than my uncle. And then I was like, somebody's better at sports? What the frick?
Who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but that, I mean, because they would get like, it was always the Army guys that were a problem. Yeah. Like, if someone was like, first class lieutenant, and then they're just showing fuck shit up, and you're like, well, yeah, this guy was in. Oh, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
Of his uncle?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Let me see it real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My uncle's rad, dude. Then now he's a football coach in Missouri and, like, crushing it. Like,
I mean, I would just, this would be day one, I'd show my players this footage, you know, just let you know.
I mean, they used to play it all the time on ESPN Classic, and I would call and be like, you're all fucking ESPN Classic.
ESPN Classic.
I think he was a little, like, ugh, you know, I think maybe he's... He just didn't
seem...
I wonder if he goes through
like stages of it. You know what I mean?
I'm sure that he's cooler now, but maybe when he was like, you know, 35, he's like, yeah, I was like, you know, 23 then or whatever.
Larry Zonka, dude.
Larry Zonka, dude. Dolphins right there.
One of the classic Dolphins.
Yeah. So who do we got here? That's my uncle. That's Ted.
Shout out Uncle Ted.
Yeah. Oh, dude, this purple American Gladiators thing is at my grandparents' house.
We'll edit this in, so this will be bottom
okay,
part
okay,
of the
yeah,
stream.
Okay, yeah, because it gets like ripped. Oh, it gets ripped in this thing. And so that ripped American Gladiators jersey was like on the mantle at my grandparents' house.
Do they have a wall of Ted?
Oh, they got a fucking wall of Ted. And they have six other children.
Really?
So it's just a wall of Ted.
And then
small photos of their other
page,
children.
Yeah. First round. Yeah, look at that.
He's fucking, he's a tough dude.
Yeah, dude, he looks like a football coach.
Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah.
Cliff Miller? Cliff Miller wasn't the guy.
Oh, fuck, he does lose a fucking Cliff Miller. Yes, Cliff this is Miller. When he loses.
Oh, no, we're not going to watch this another time. But, dude, I would absolutely watch a full episode.
Oh, no, it's fun as hell.
Because, so when you have, like, that many brothers and sisters, and one of them is a phenomenal athlete.
And he's the youngest by, like, a lot.
So he's the baby.
Yeah.
And the wall of, dude, the wall of Ted.
The wall of Ted is legit. It's very real. And you, and no one can be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a lot of accomplishments right there.
God damn, you did that too.
Yeah, yeah.
You kind of want them to suck a little bit. Yeah. So you're like, I mean, why put that on the wall? But then you're like, oh, fuck, that's actually kind of cool. I'm glad you guys put this up here.
Yeah.
That is awesome. When, is that what got you guys into wrestling? Was your mom's brothers?
Yes, because they were so good at wrestling that then they started wrestling. And then,
did your dad have like the inkling of like, oh, well, my brothers-in-law are good at wrestling. Let's try if the, let's see if the boys are, was your
I think
dad?
My, I think it was my mom being like, my dad loved baseball straight up. You know, he names us all after baseball players. Yeah. So then he was like, you know, he just loved baseball and basketball and we weren't good enough at those things. We
That's so yeah. funny.
Wrestling's great if you're not good at real sports.
No.
I'm saying you could, it, like, I don't have coordination to, like, catch or throw far.
Yeah.
And you could maybe learn that, but, like, you can, like, kind of learn wrestling without, like, real.
Determination is the number one thing in wrestling.
Yeah.
I've noticed from any of my friends that I know that were good at wrestling, Greg Warren, Mike Vecchione,
yeah.
they're, like, they have this thing of, like, iron, like, just laser eye focus.
Yeah, it's
where like, they'll go like, I'll go through hell to get to this.
Yeah,
thing.
It's like the one sport where it's like you got to run through that wall, and most people are like, I don't want to. And wrestling's like, oh, I'm going to run through the wall.
That's right. We do wall run throughs.
Yeah,
we got to do three of these before we practice.
Like, for why?
We smash through drywall and it does like cardio.
I think it's just such like a non. It's such a sport that nobody watches, so there's no glory in it. Really?
Well, there's a thing where it's the perfect South Park episode. Where they explain that professional wrestling is like all theatrics.
Right.
It's all entertainment. It's all storyline and shit. And then you are literally watching the polar opposite of it, which is like grit and determination.
There's no flair.
No flair.
But these guys don't like interviews.
They don't even want to wear the things that protect their ears.
No,
they're just like,
absolutely
I
kind
of have to because it hurts.
Dude, the funniest thing is like after the NCAA like Division I championships, they always interview like some absolute psychopath who just became the best wrestler in the United States.
Yeah.
And they're like, how's it going? He's like, good.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, these guys have just dead eyes.
There's a book called Fighter's Mind by Sam Sheridan. There's also Fighter's Heart. But in A Fighter's Mind, Sam Sheridan interviews Dan Gable, who's like the Iowa wrestler.
Yeah, that guy. Whoa, dude, talk about losing my mind during COVID. I freaked out because Dan Gable's very around. I saw him a lot growing up. He's the coach of the University of Iowa. Olympics.
Also, a legendary Olympian. A legendary.
Most famous wrestler in the history of the world.
Like this guy. This guy won three national titles in a row.
Two. They could only do. He went undefeated his whole high school and college year. But when he was in college, you couldn't wrestle your freshman year, so you could only win three.
So I'm wrong. So on the he won two.
It's totally fine.
Then on the third, he was in the finals to win his third straight.
And never lost in his life, high school and college.
And in the final minute, loses.
He lost to Larry Owens. It's a regular Cliff Miller over there.
Yeah.
From my uncle. Yeah.
Yeah. Cliff Miller.
Yeah.
I hope you're doing all right.
Oh, catching strays. Yeah. Cliff Miller's like, what the heck?
I love this podcast. I fucking watch this shit. But anyways, Dan Gable, just to let you know how big of a psycho he is. He got pinned his senior year to win the thing. He went on. He was so motivated by that. He went to the Olympics and didn't have a point scored on.
Then he won the world championships in the Olympics back to back and retired and then coached the University of Iowa to like 21 NCAA championships. So he's like legend around town.
He's like the Iowa guy.
Legend. Was kind of a dick to my brother because my brother was the head coach of Waterloo West where he went and then he was like, this new guy thinks he has some like, he's all like, my brother's like 28. And I was like, don't hurt my brother's feelings, man.
Yeah. Gable.
But then, so then Dan Gable was like my hero growing up. Love him. Go watch his speeches. Go to all his wrestling camps. And then during COVID, he broke my, when we were all just a little shaky.
Everyone.
Right before the fucking election, when you were just peak losing your mind. I was drinking so much, my back hurt. Like, you know what I mean? I was like, why does my back hurt? I'm not doing anything.
My spine shouldn't hurt.
Yes. And Trump went and I was just like down. It was dark. Trump went and gave Dan Gable the Presidential Medal of Freedom as a way to get votes in Iowa.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I'm going to give their favorite guy this thing. And then Dan Gable like raised Trump's hand and pointed at him and said, now this is a winner. And I broke every brain, like every like cell in my brain. Cause I was like, no, Dan Gable is the working man. You work hard and you achieve. And this is the opposite of that. He's a rich guy. He's piece of shit. And I just went off on Twitter. I was like, fuck Dan Gable.
Oh,
like,
no.
Fuck Iowa. No, you're all pieces of shit. No. And then I was like, Slipknot fucking sucks. They're from fucking Ankeny. Ankeny's a fucking rich kid town.
What are you
like,
doing?
Like, Corey Taylor, you're a fucking piece of shit. Dude, just like so mad at Iowa, so mad at, and my whole world is.
A full heel turn.
Dude, I get a call from my brother in the morning. I was like hungover, wake up, and he's like, yo, my friends reach out to me. What are you doing? And I was like, what? He goes, you're fucking up back home, man. Like you were like, he's like, do not say that shit about Slipknot. Okay. He's like, Corey Taylor's from fucking Waterloo. Okay. He's not from, like, he just schooled me on Slipknot. He's like, sure,
dude, that is so funny that the first person they go, keep Slipknot, especially in the age we live in. Yeah. Where people are like, if you mention a presidential candidate in the wrong way, either side will threaten your life.
Yeah.
It's just so funny that the first one is to go, fucking Slipknot, dude. Well, they've done a lot. There's four volumes of spooky, ooky, crazy music. Yeah, dude.
Well, it's like Gable and Slipknot are like the most Iowa thing you can have. So I'm just like, I hate Iowa.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm sorry. And then I like tweeted at Corey Taylor. I was like, look, man, I was wasted. Dan Gable just broke my heart.
What, did Corey Taylor write anything back?
No, of course not. I just called him a pussy.
And now you got to wear, now when you go to Iowa, you have to wear a Slipknot mask.
I've listened to Wait and Bleed after that and was like, it is really good song.
They got some bangers.
They've got some really good ones.
You cannot, listen, if we're going to sit here and shit on Stained, yes.
No, Slipknot, I'm only mad at them because Ankeny, we wrestled there one time and I was like, this is a really nice school and this is where Slipknot's from. I wish I was from here.
But a lot of times the rich kids are the ones whose parents are the coldest.
Yes.
Because they're into money and society. Mm-hmm. So that's where the demon
festers. That's where they're so mad.
Where the evil gets
in. Yeah, it is a rich suburb of Des Moines, which might be worse than like the small farm town that I grew up in. A suburb of Des Moines.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're like, I'm not even in Des Moines.
I can't even get Des Moines love. Honestly, kind of how I felt growing up in Aurora. I was I'm not even in Denver.
How far away is that?
It's maybe 15, 20 minutes south. It's all connected through suburbs.
Right.
Like you would never know when you're in Aurora and then all of a sudden you're in Denver.
But that's like really the only suburb of Denver that it gets its own like classification,
right?
Well,
it's a city. Its own city. Right. But like there's like our, I don't really know. Honestly, I'm too stupid to speak on this. I don't really know. I do know that Aurora is its own city with the worst fucking catchphrase in the world when you drive in and out of from the airport. When you go into Aurora from DIA, it says Aurora, an all America city. Like it's not even an all American city.
An all America city?
All America. That's what the sign says. Okay. And look it up. If you're driving on fucking Peña Boulevard from the fucking airport, it says Aurora, an all-America city. And you're like, it sounds AI.
They should, it's also funnier if they were like, all-America. Like, not even get that right.
Can't even go,
all-America city.
Fuck,
what are you doing?
And my mom said the school district was good here.
What's going on with that Mustang that you guys got at your airport?
Oh, the creepy horse?
The blue demon.
Killed the guy that made it.
Really?
Yeah. I think when they were like installing it, it fell on him. Can you look that up so I make sure that I'm not lying? But I'm pretty sure that thing killed him. It was DIA. They went for some wild late 90s swings that did not age well.
No, there's like people with gas masks. Like
there's
John.
That mural that's super fucked up.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how they explain that.
I don't.
It fell on him in the studio. So not even installing it in the studio and then killed him.
Put it up.
It's fucking spooky.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be a tip of the cap to the old Bronco that was on top of Mile High Stadium.
Okay.
Which was pretty cool, which I think they have it in Vesco or whatever that stadium's called now. But yeah, that like.
Also, Aurora is the world in a city, our story, our way.
The world in a city. But then why does that sign say an all America city?
Also, the world in a city. What the fuck are
you talking?
The world
in a city. Yeah. So that's how they get rid of these Venezuelans. Then he's going to tell my mom, I've been fucking with people so bad that have been like, because we're having Andrew Callahan on the podcast.
Okay.
And he did a Channel 5 thing about the Venezuelans in Aurora. So I'm excited to talk to him about it.
Okay.
Because I've just been fucking with friends of mine that think it's real. They're like, dude, is your mom okay? And I go, no.
Wait, is that a thing where they said Venezuelans are coming to Aurora?
They're saying a lot of right-wing news sources were saying that a Venezuelan prison gang took over multiple complexes in Aurora.
All right.
There was a robbery involving a prison gang from Venezuela, but those guys like robbed an apartment and then left.
Mm-hmm.
But then you should check out the channel. If you're watching this right now, check out the Channel 5 documentary.
Okay.
We're going to have Andrew Callahan on to talk about it, but he goes and talks to everybody and like, There's a lot there. There was a, it, there like was a prison gang, but it didn't take over the apartment complex.
Sure, there's
but the right, but a lot of these like
these like, you know, these key words are just like, you know, like well, they, migrant robbery.
Well, you
like,
find out in the documentary, the owner of the apartment complex, which was like not picking up its trash, not fixing its plumbing, he fled to Florida.
Okay,
and then gave that story to this publicity firm that put it out. That this Venezuelan prison gang took over this apartment complex.
Right.
I think he did it to get out of the bank fucking trying to get him. But
right.
All I know is my Twitter and my Instagram are people being like, dude, is your mom all right? Right. And am I not going to fuck with you?
Yeah.
You're going to go with fake news? You think I'm not going to fuck with you? Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I'll just be like, no. Yeah, it's bad.
They took her back to Venezuela.
It's bad. Yeah, my she's an abuela for a family that she's never even met. She's a Venezuelan grandma now, and it's not even her kid, or it's, you know, it's not even a real grandkid. But it's like, it's hilarious. I think that shit. That's if we're in this age of misinformation and everything's fucked up, have fun with it,
dude. I fucking love the Donald Trump McDonald's shit so much. Like, I genuinely think it's funniest shit ever.
It's brilliant.
Like, he's like, she didn't work at McDonald's, I'll go work at McDonald's. And I'm like, this is so funny.
I'm telling you right now.
So funny.
I'm telling you right now. It's the media that's making us feel like this is the apocalypse.
Right.
But it is so funny.
It's so
watching
funny.
Presidential candidates go on fucking podcasts and try to act like they're regular people. Yeah. Is the best comedy I could have ever asked for.
Did you ever see a teacher that you didn't get along with outside of school when you were with your mom?
Dude, we had to do a parking lot meetup. Because, not in a sexual way. I was failing eighth grade.
Okay.
Like, across the board.
That's hard to do, too. They want you out of there.
They want you out of there so bad. Yeah. If you're failing eighth grade, you're being a real dickhead.
You're doing something crazy.
Or you're just
and it sounds like you had a normal mom, too.
My mom was a good mom.
Yeah, so you must have just been really wild.
I was going through some stuff.
Okay.
And you got to miss a lot of school, too.
A lot.
You got to be a little truant.
Right.
If you're not going to pass eighth grade. Also, you can do no work, I found out. But we got to this point
where an option, yeah.
My mom goes, if you get more than an F, if you get more than one F, I'm going to make you repeat eighth grade.
Ooh.
And I was like,
uh-oh.
No, you won't. And my mom's like, do you want to go down this path?
Right.
And when I realized she was serious, I was like, it was like maybe like 3 months left of school. And I was like, fuck. And my mom's like, so you better find a way. So I
because remember how all your friends are going to go to high school,
dude,
and that's exciting. Probably
it was the most stressed I've ever been in my life because it's like it was like a movie where they're like you have to care or you're going to be back in eighth grade. And everyone was like, I was like, fucking high school, I'm going to miss high school. I would have graduated in 02, not in 01. But I like went to all my teachers and I was like, listen. I told them, like, I won't repeat. And a couple of them were like, well, you're failing my class. And my French teacher was like, listen, I'll make an exception, and I will give you extra credit if you go do the first semester's packet that you did not do.
Okay.
And I was like, you would do that?
That's reasonable. She
was
like, it's also a lot of work.
A lot of work. I think it was like close to 2 to 3 hours of French work every Saturday and Sunday for like 4 weeks.
No,
so
no,
I didn't
no,
have a weekend.
No.
I would just have to sit inside and like, and I can't speak French for shit.
Right.
But I learned how to like conjugate and do all that shit and like do the worksheets. But we would have to meet her at the King Supers parking lot to like hand over the dossier.
Wow.
And it was like a teacher that I was like,
that's a good teacher though.
I was, dude. Yeah. Mrs. Christian. I forgot her name. Fuck. But she was cool. Shout out Mrs. Vale that also did it. She was Mrs. Stone, and then she got remarried. But Ms. Vale graduated from ASU and then was our eighth grade English teacher, and we were not easy.
No.
She goes to my comedy shows when I'm in Portland.
I think eighth grade is the worst you'll ever be to an adult.
Yes.
Like, that's the hardest, because, like, you have no empathy for what they're going up to, and you're trying to show off for girls now.
Yes.
So you're like, I'm going to destroy this idiot's life because it's funny to me, because I can never see myself having that life.
It is. You reach the point where you're a spicy child.
Yeah.
It's spicy children.
It's a lot of like, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. They just reach a point where they go like, you ain't shit to me.
Because also, like, it's like when I realized, like, you can't hit me. Yeah. You know, like, like, sixth grade, you're like, you could really hurt me. But in eighth grade, you're like, if you hit me, I'll sue you.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the way you hit me, I might have a chance in the fight. I'm starting to hit puberty.
Yeah.
Like, I have hair, I have two hairs on my balls. Try it.
Dude,
but eighth grade, were you a bad kid in eighth grade?
I mean, I was the worst type of bad kid because I would get good grades. So my
they
don't have ammo against me. And I would go, you know, and you get your mom on your side early. Like, how's, you know, school's like, Mr. Kramer's got it out for me. You know, like, you get her boiling up. You get her boiled up before she goes in, you know what I mean? And then she goes in and you know, she's got your back a little bit.
My mom always went in with the thing of, what did he do?
Oh, okay.
My mom knew.
Yeah.
My mom knew I was a class clown. Yeah. My mom always knew. The thing that my mom always was told was, Dan's very funny. He just does it at inappropriate times.
Right.
And so my mom would be like, she would come home and hit me with, I'm surprised I don't have this tattooed in Old English on my back. There's a time and a place.
Okay.
Because my mom would always fart. My mom's going to laugh. She watches this podcast. Hey, mom. When she sees this, she's going to be like, I did say that all the time.
Yes.
Because they would be like, because by the way, I would fucking kill. Like, are we acting like I'm not being funny in class? Like,
right.
I'm fucking.
That's fun.
I'm bringing it.
Dude.
And I was saying this to Sagalo recently, when they go like, go out in the hallway. That's your like, good night, everybody.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Dance owner. Don't forget.
All right, yeah.
Danceowner.com.
Don't forget to tip the teachers at the
end. I'd love a pudding at lunch if you have credits on your account.
Dude, in eighth grade, me and my friends like got quickly kicked off of all the field trips.
Yeah.
Like pretty quick. They're like, three strikes, no more field trips.
Yeah,
and
dude.
Then it just turned into when they'd go on field trips, like me and my four best friends at school. Like, no, but we weren't even having school. They're like, you just have study hall. And we're just like, this is way better than going to the museum.
Fuck the museum, dude. Yeah. We're going to do so much stuff in the classroom.
We're downloading World of War, like early World of Warcraft stuff. Oh. Like, it was so fun.
I'm so lucky I didn't have computers.
Yeah.
We had a computer lab and you had to like,
dude, computer lab. We had computer lab. And the thing was, they would like change this website to this very graphic image of a woman, and we would make it your background. And then when you would go to sit down and open up your computer, it would be like the craziest sex image you've ever seen.
I remember Lemon Party from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like 01. So that's how old Lemon Party is. Is someone in 01 knew in the computer lab, right, I can bring up a picture of three old men sucking each other's dicks in a daisy chain.
Yes.
And I'll leave this on the computer. And I remember high school me being like, could be the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Funniest thing I ever saw anybody do in high school. I sat next to this kid, Mitch, and we were in typing class. And this has been like 2002. And he was a real kind of a weird guy. Here's what Mitch would do. Mitch would wear this Cradle of Filth shirt to school a lot that said, Jesus was a cunt.
Wild boy.
Yeah, and they would be like, Mitch, turn inside out.
Yeah, he's like, I just think he's a cunt.
Yeah, so that's Mitch. And if you can believe it, Mitch, very fast at typing for our age. This guy lived on the internet.
I'm going to tell you right now, if Mitch is still alive, his capability of decimating me is very high.
Oh, for sure. So this is what he would do. So fucking crazy. We're computer lab. I'm sitting next to Mitch. Like, he's wild, but I think he's so fascinating. So I'm always asking him what's up. And he's like, can't be bothered with me. But what he would do is we'd have like a lesson. It's like, you know, speed round, 5 minutes, get all this done. He'd jam that out in like 35 seconds. Not even fucking joke. It was like a machine. Then he would go to a porn site, find an image, hit print, clear the history, and go back to typing. So then, because you had one printer up front.
Right on the side of the classroom.
Right next to the teacher where she's up there, and just start click on and be like,
champion.
And my teacher would be like, she's like, who's printing? Cause you know, and then she would slowly realize like, oh my God. Like as the image came out of like, this gangbang. She's like, oh God. And then she said, hands up, everybody hands up. And I'm like shaking with how hard I'm laughing.
Yeah.
So she comes over to the Jesus was a cunt guy and was like, pull up your search history or whatever. Your internet search history. And the guy knows way more about computers than her.
I mean,
like,
he is the adult, she's the child
exactly.
in that situation.
Just proves, he's like, what? And then I'm just like crying with,
because you know.
It's the funniest thing I've ever seen anybody do. Just a teacher slowly be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Hip hip, hip hip.
And don't forget, guys, we're going to have another... That's stopping.
Champagne.
I got Mitch a job at Papa John's after that because I thought he was so funny. Dude. Then he refused to give them his social security number and left. And they're like, what's up with that guy? I go, he's just Mitch, man. That guy's crazy.
Did you ever looked up Mitch?
No. Find him. He's a cool dude.
I want to know where Mitch is.
He's either doing something really great or something really bad.
He is either full Kaczynski, right, or like a tech. He like lives in Palo Alto.
Absolutely.
And he goes, Brooks, I'll have you down to the beach home.
There's no middle ground. None. For Mitch.
There's no just a guy that works at like
Mitch,
Ace
did you
Hardware.
See this? Hit me up. You're the man.
Please, Mitch.
You made me laugh so much.
Mitch, please find us. You're out there. You're on the internet.
Yeah.
You're like Ghost Rider. Okay. We got to go talk to you on the internet. Find us.
Yeah,
Mitch.
Cool guy.
Yeah, dude, those are my favorite. My favorite people were the really smart people who were very talented at something, but also kind of didn't give a fuck.
No, this is the best.
It's like, those friends that are like talented beyond, my friend Matt Lamparzik, he's in the Navy, we started comedy together, but he's just like one of those guys that does everything so well that you're like, oh, dude, like he was a drummer in a fucking metal band, and now he's just like a dad, but he'll like fuck around and you're like, oh, dude, you're awesome. I can't do any of that shit.
I had a buddy, this guy, Justin Potter, like in high school, like state champion, like he could run the, like I asked him what his fastest mile time is. He was like, oh, probably like 4:29, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Chain smoked and would run all the time. Just smoking, drinking, and then be like, I got to go be the fastest person you've ever seen.
I love that shit, dude. Yeah. I love people with just like an insane amount of talent and they're not sucking their own dicks by it.
No.
I think that's why everyone's over celebrities now is because I think those people are cooler than anybody that pretends to be a superhero.
Well,
I think
sure.
those people are cooler than anybody that like, you're like, oh, big deal. You have a fucking TV show. This guy can fucking backflip.
Right.
You're like, let's go back to that.
Did you ever print off a porno to the, that's not funny.
Entire class laugh?
Yeah.
Oh, what, you did a good job in Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah.
Hit the fucking skids.
You're right, though. Celebrities are out.
It's done. It's cooked. And you could tell. That's why.
How do you feel about the Costco guys?
Love them.
Fascinating.
Here comes the boom. It's going to be the greatest. Sagalow and I on the road talk about this too much. There's going to be a huge documentary coming out.
Yeah, it's going to be a real true Hollywood story about Big Justice and AJ.
But it's going to be a Netflix doc, four-parter, called Boomer Doom, the story of the Rizzler.
I love the Rizzler. I want the Rizzler. I like the Rizzler on his own. I don't like him with this little subgroup, you know? I'm like,
what's
Rizzler,
the wide
Rizzler,
eyes?
Rizzler, you got Rizzler.
They are.
You have something special. You don't need anybody else. You can do this on your own.
Go solo, dude.
Go solo.
Solo record.
Yeah.
They are the human version of the Macarena.
Yeah.
And young people will not understand because the Macarena was everywhere and then it was gone. And that is what will happen.
I think that
is that you're like, oh, the president did the Macarena. Like
AJ started trying to put some of his pro wrestling into it. And I'm like, this is where it crumbles. We stick to Costco.
But then you find out, because the Rolling Stone did an article on him.
Really?
This guy was doing videos for his real estate thing.
Okay.
And then he put his kid in the video.
Oh.
And they did the double chocolate chunk and it blew up. And it's like they got a hit. And then it's so funny in the article, he was like, and then my son said to me, no, dad, now this is our channel. And
Jesus.
He didn't say that. He said, I want to play with my friends. And he said, make the video.
He said, all right, we're going to find you a little pudgier friend because it looks like a Pokemon.
Yeah. He goes, what if we found the unevolved version of you and we gave him a cool name? Like, because the Rizzler's not even related to that.
Yeah. No, I know. It's the guy from the internet that they're like, let's bring him. Let's get the Rat Pack. They're the new Rat Pack.
He's our Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah, yeah.
And by that, he's going to lose an eye to diabetes unless they let him fucking run. But it's one of those things where that's the new. It's so funny because the celebrities now are influencers. They're people that film their kids sleeping. They're people that yell in their car or they eat a double chocolate chunk. It's all that. It's not like Sir Anthony Hopkins. That's why it's going to be funny where, like, the queen, it's going to be Sir Rizzler. Like,
oh,
when
they
start, you know, when people get so famous, they're like, he got knighted.
Yeah.
He's like,
well, but those people are more fun to meet because you feel like you know them a little bit.
Well, that's the thing, is it's parasocial.
Yeah.
Celebrities, the allure of celebrities where you were never going to see them. If you did, you would lose your mind.
Right.
Now it's, I'm friends with all these people.
Yes.
And these people all, you know, and I think that's actually, it's why I put a podcast, it's why I put on Last Podcast on the Left, if I'm just like cleaning the house.
No.
Because you're like listening to something, but it doesn't feel lonely.
No, not at all. You're totally right. And then like, but then, because then you build up this relationship that you have, but it's a totally one-sided relationship that when people like, when I run into podcasts that I like, I'm like, you have a... I have like a inflated sense of how famous they are because in my brain, they're so famous. Do you know what I mean? Because yeah. I listen to them so much, spend so much time with like fucking these wrestling podcasts that are like Flow Wrestling. I love it. And these dudes are just like normal, chill guys. But when I see them, I'm like, holy heck, like you guys are really important to me.
That's George Brett with your dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's like your dad meeting George Brett and naming his son after, you know, him. And then like meeting him and being like, I named my son after him. George Brett's like, shit, man, I hit 2 for 4 that day. You know, he's like, I got a beer and I fucking think I had a thick woman at the Holiday Inn give me a room key, but I don't really remember that much. Nice to meet you, man. But that's why celebrities back, that's what's interesting now about watching old school, quote unquote, old school celebrities that are actors and musicians and stuff, kind of learning from podcast people of like, okay, I got to be a little more open.
Dude, I had my podcast for like 4 or 5 years. This podcast, Entry Level, is really fun. I liked doing it, but then I got sucked into this. I sold this TV show and I had to like develop this thing for Fox for like 2 years. And it was like, I was like, this is more important to me, the Fox show. And it was a really dumb, like in the grand scheme of things, like Fox show didn't go. And I just kind of like tailed off on this podcast. I'm like, oh, dude, you just always got to keep that podcast rocking.
Well, the thing that, and you know, I don't know shit. I'm fucking, you know, I'm doing all right, but I don't know. I'm not by nowhere near like the top. But what I found is that
you're pretty close.
It's you just have to build your own audience.
Yeah.
And that's why all these networks and other things are freaking the fuck out right now is because they were the place that gave you an audience as a stand-up comedian. They'd go, here's your TV show. Now you can do theaters because all these people know who you are. But now you have to go do theaters. And then the networks are like, oh, people watch you.
Right.
It's why the presidential candidates are on podcasts. It's why it's all this shit because it has flipped. And there were people that saw it coming. And they're way smarter than both of us.
Yes.
You know, like, Schultz fucking saw that shit coming.
Schultz is very good at this.
And he fucking nailed it.
It's amazing.
And also, there's other people that were just like... Like Last Podcast on the Left, I knew Henry and Ed and Marcus at the Creek in the Cave when we used to just drink or whatever, and they were super into scary movies and all that shit, and you genuinely saw them build that podcast out of love, and it became bigger than any TV show they're going
to
do.
Absolutely. I mean, dude, I had this idea with Carl Hess, who I go camping with a lot, where we have this idea where we go to every national park and we do like what the hardest thing we can there and like record it while we're there, just like audio, and then like from the studio, pitch it back. We're like, here's where we went to Yosemite, we're going to do this. We just wanted a podcast about camping in national parks, and then we pitch it to some people and they're like, we should film that. I'm like, then it's a TV show.
Yeah.
But then we have a crew. The whole reason we
can
do this.
But also here's the thing is like I think that's what it is with the internet, everything changes so fast and everything moves so much faster that all these people that were gatekeepers are now like, it's funny. They were the gatekeeper, but then the gate moved in front of them and they're going like,
I mean, and we're in this like weird little fucking zone where like, everything changed for us that we're like,
but for the better.
No, stand I know, up. But I just mean like, if you saw somebody, you know, 5 years ago, bring in a fucking camcorder that you had never heard of that was going to film their own set, you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean,
guy must be whack.
And then like, or the idea of like, you're going to cut up all that stuff and give it away.
You're going to self promote. And like now, anytime I see somebody setting up a camera, I'm like, they're about to be way, way bigger than me.
Yeah.
Because I'm so lazy. I don't fucking do it.
Well, I also see people with clips and I go like, oh, that's a good clip.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're going to fucking, and it's just how it moves. And you see people where they're like, there are people. It's funny to watch, especially living in New York City, watching the old guard be like, nah, this is how you do it. You go, well, you guys said Carson was big.
Yes.
Carson, there is no Carson.
Right.
There is no equivalent of Carson anymore.
It is. I've been in LA so much lately that coming here, I'm here for like 2 weeks, just doing a bunch of shows. Like, yeah. Seeing like how evolved you are compared to like what's going on in LA.
Really, well, LA's like, running around with their head cut off.
That's what it feels like.
They because they were lucky because Rogan and them were there.
Right.
So they didn't realize it was happening. they didn't realize it could move and change everything.
Right.
And I think that's what Rogan moving to Austin did. I think it really showed a lot of these LA people, like, you had a huge media source there, yep, and you didn't realize it.
No.
You didn't realize when he left, there was going to be this vacant
and
hole.
Like, yeah, but also, like, COVID, like, ruined the alt scene, really, because, like, the difference between New York and LA, I feel like, COVID really showed, because when COVID happened here, you guys were like, we're doing shows on roofs and we're starting podcasts. And when COVID happened in LA, we're like, we're going to the national parks.
Yeah. We're going to go camping. We're going to go sleep in our backyard.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. I mean, we were doing, how many shows did you film in, like, alleyways and fucking rooftops and backyards and shit? There was, like, park shows. I think New York was just, dude, I remember one time during Black Lives Matter, I was doing a show in the Lower East Side and the promoter, who was a black dude, he was great. He was like, hey, cops show up. You're on that mic. I need you to start saying "No rest till peace." They come up with a slogan.
That's great.
We're gonna get in trouble for doing a comedy show. Yeah. We won't get in trouble for protesting. Okay. I was like, so I was just waiting to be like, yeah. And then I said to her, "What are you a fucking Black Lives Matter?" Black Lives. It's such a funny pivot. Dude, it's awesome. Thanks for coming by and doing the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Check out everything online that Brooks Wheeler.
Yeah, actually, I have a special coming out Monday.
Fucking A.
Yeah.
Watch the special. This will be out. This will be out.
A special called Alive in Alaska.
Alive in, did you do it at Chinook Charlie's?
No, I did. I did a 2-week tour of Alaska, shot it, and then shot it at this place called the Beartooth Theater.
Oh, great!
It was sick,
dude. That's all. Where in Alaska did you go?
I did McCarthy, Juneau, Sitka, Cordova, Soldotna.
I lived in Soldotna.
You lived in Soldotna? That's one of the worst towns.
I lived in. I worked at Pacific Star Seafood.
Really?
Shout out. For a summer.
Soldotna?
My aunt lived in Kenai, which was right by Soldotna.
That's great fishing.
Great.
Yeah.
We lived in Soldotna. I worked in Kenai.
Okay, cool. And then Fairbanks, and then finished it off at Anchorage. It was a cool-ass tour.
Yeah, so you did all the way down.
Yeah,
well, we did
McCarthy
down, and then back
down
up.
Up, and then back.
Yeah, because...
it wasn't planned well.
Soldotna's in the Cook Inlet.
Yeah, Soldotna was just... That was my least favorite show.
Really?
Yeah.
Were they just...
I just think it was promoted poorly.
Okay.
And that's on me.
Well, I went and looked for a job before I got hired at the cannery.
Yeah.
My aunt lived up there, so I just wanted to live with my aunt.
You worked at a cannery?
Yeah, but I went and applied everywhere else first. I applied at, like, restaurants. I applied at a landscaping place. Okay. I applied at a radio station, and none of them would hire me. And I went down, it was in May, and I went down to Pacific Star Seafood, and this fisherman got me a job there.
Dude, so you were there for a whole summer?
Yeah.
This is a fun place to be.
Great. It was great. Very hard work. Very hard work. And
but those guys get fucked up.
I was very lucky because I was like, I got the job before the college kids came.
Okay.
So they didn't think I was a college kid.
Whoa, that's huge.
They didn't
huge.
Know I was a college kid.
That's huge.
They just thought I was a guy living up there with his aunt.
Yeah.
They didn't know I was in between
they
my freshman
and sophomore
year. They
thought you were like them hiding out while some shit cooled off.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Which was funny because I did have to go. I had to leave to go to court in Colorado.
Yep.
So that was when they were like, oh, he's all right.
That's the opening joke of my special is everyone who lives in Alaska is like, I came up here for a week, been here 89 years. Also, I'm wanted for manslaughter.
Yeah, dude.
So that's why it's I'm kind of here.
They also pay you to move to Alaska.
Really?
Because there's an oil reserve.
Yeah.
So when you become, at least that was what it was 20 years ago. But if you move up there and you become a citizen, they send you a check for like fucking $1,700 or something.
I've been there like 3 times and I always dig it, but I've never been up there in the winter. So
me neither. I've never been there in the winter.
That sounds dark.
But
literally.
My aunt had a fucking cool house in Soldotna, like off this path.
Yeah.
And she had like 3 acres and I would go smoke joints and walk around in the back. The mosquitoes were nightmarish.
Right.
But I found like this fucking 19th century bear trap that was rusted open. It was rusted completely open.
Whoa.
And I tried several different times. I threw a boulder in it to like set
That's
it.
That's like the funniest, best stoned in your 20 in the woods find. Like, no way.
And then I was just on a rock, holding a rock, gone. And it bounced off the thing and I go, oh, dude, one time, and I might've told this story on another podcast, but it was true. I was in the backyard and what I used to love to do is drink like a 6-pack of Rolling Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And then my aunt would go to sleep. But she was like an ex-drug addict, so she didn't want any drugs. Right. But I'd bring weed with me. And I would go smoke a joint on the back patio. And it'd be light out. And it'd be like fucking 11:45 at night. And I was just chilling there, smoking a joint, just having a good time. And then the golden retriever next door starts barking. And I'm like, this dog's going fucking nuts. And I was like, rrr, rrr, rrr. And it was a hill. And I look up the hill. And there's this giant brown bear.
Yeah.
Just going like, And I was like, dude, if I watch a bear eat a dog right now, it's going to change my life. And the fucking dog was like pinned, like the leash was pinned to a thing in the ground. And I was like, my first thought was, do I run over there, pull it off the leash to let it get away from the bear? Yeah. But I'm not going near a fucking, and the bear was like 75 yards away. So it wasn't like right up on it. This bear growled. The dog was like pinned on its leash, like, fuck you, motherfucker, fuck you. And then the bear went, nah, fuck this. Yeah. Just ran back up the hill. And I was like, whew. I just went inside after that. I was like, dude, I ain't watching it. I ain't sticking around. But that's one of the coolest places. Alaska, go there.
It was fucking sick. So right before the special, I went down to Seward, right before we taped like the actual special, and I went on a jog through the Kenai Fjords National Park.
Hell yeah. Which is one of the most beautiful drives ever in the world.
Yes. No, it's so cool. But I went on like this really long, like 10-mile run, like deep in the woods. And I realized I didn't have fucking bear spray. And I'm like, this is where the grizzlies live. Yeah. Like they live like down on the fucking coast. And I was like, I scared myself really bad. You know what I mean? Because I was like 5 miles in and I like took my headphones out. And I'm like, all right, we're fine. Like, this is how I die.
What am I doing?
Yeah, I was like, you're trying too hard, bud.
Because that would be a thing where they go, did you hear Brooks Wheeling got ate by a bear? And I'd go,
yeah,
I believe it.
I know. I just want, when I die, people not to be like, that makes sense. For sure. For sure.
I kind of saw that coming.
And I was like, so then I just had to kind of like jog back, but like listening, you know, because I'm like, this is where they live. I'm like doing the dumbest thing I can right now.
There was a road where I lived called Funny River Road.
Yeah.
That's what it was called. If you live in Alaska, you know that. But they were like 65% chance to get attacked by a bear walking down that road. And you're in the summer and you're like, fuck that.
Yeah.
And then in the newspaper, story of a guy got attacked by a bear, killed it. When you kill a bear, they take the body, but they cut off the paw and they give it to you. Dude. So the guy was holding the paw of the bear. He had a fucking massive wound on him. And he was like bandaged up, but he was holding the paw. And you're like, fucking. So the fact that he just ran in the woods is nuts.
No, it was dumb. And I realized it.
I probably could have got caught looking back at that bear trap. Like when I was just high, being like, throwing fucking rocks and shit.
I mean, also I saw, I camped at this place in Montana, and then the next weekend, a woman was eaten out of her tent by a bear in that campsite. And I was like back there on my way back through Glacier, and I was like, that's so terrible. And I hate when people like are like, she had gum in her pocket. That's what you get. I'm like, I don't think you deserve to get eaten by a bear because you had gum. Oh,
she ate Red Robin yesterday.
Yeah, and you just don't do that.
That seasoning attracts
She
them.
Got eat by a bear.
That's
got
to be the worst way to go.
Yes.
That has to be the worst way to go, because what you're doing is, at the moment of your death, you're realizing that nature doesn't care.
Oh, gosh.
That like that unrelenting coldness where you're like, you're just going to kill me. And the bear's like, yeah.
Dude. I just watched Grizzly Man recently.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like Timothy Treadwell's like,
Quincy.
Yeah, he's like, they're so magical. And then Werner Herzog's like, I see nothing in their eyes. Yeah, this cold stare.
Yeah, the bears do nothing. We were in Ohio we were visiting my cousin to go watch her kids play football, and the hotel we were staying at was in a parking lot with a place called Werner's Smokehouse.
Okay.
So every time Katie and I left the hotel, we went, Werner Herzog's Smokehouse. Yes, I do documentaries, but what I love more is smoked beef. So every time we'd go by Werner, we'd go to the hotel, about Werner Herzog's Smokehouse.
Seth Meyers was telling me he had Werner Herzog on and tried to explain to him what Documentary Now was, which is Seth's show. And they parodied a Werner Herzog one. He's like, yeah, we did this one on, I forget which one they did it on. And he like pitched it to Werner Herzog. He goes, there was nothing funny about that documentary.
That's so
like,
funny.
This is like absolutely not going to give this to you.
Oh, then never mind. Face. Then I guess we're not going to have fun here today.
Yeah, no, exactly. But I can't see him having fun, but I am very interested in him. Dan, thank you for having me on the dang pod. You're the man.
Check out Live in Alaska on YouTube right now.
Yes.
Brooks Wheeler's the best.
Heck yeah.